when an FBI agent pretends to be from Group X and deceives someone into thinking they're participating in a weapons purchase or a terror plot with Group X, that is not evidence that Group X seeks weapons or is plotting terror. So when the Associated Press runs a story, as they did October 5th, reporting a thrilling account of how the FBI, with Moldovan authorities, disrupted a smuggling ring that was trying to sell nuclear material to ISIS, and it turns out that no one involved in the sting were members of or had any connection to ISIS, then, as Adam Johnson, writing for Fair, points out, it is neither appropriate nor accurate to run stories about, as CBS had it, new fears tonight that ISIS is ready to go nuclear, or how, in Fox News's words, ISIS is trying to buy nukes. Even the Chicago Tribune's rendering that nuclear smugglers shopped radioactive material to Islamic State, other terrorists, is misleading. Since, while it may be true that someone tried to shop something, it's not true that they were ever shopping it to the Islamic State. AP's original report may have included caveats, but they can't feign surprise when those are dropped in subsequent accounts, like that of the International Business Times, which warned readers of ISIS working with Russian gangs to build a radioactive dirty bomb, before just barely being stopped by the FBI. One narrative makes a juicy movie plot, the other reflects reality. Journalists shouldn't have to be encouraged to pick a side. It's been noted that while numerous online polls from Time Magazine to the Drudge Report found that most people thought Senator Bernie Sanders carried the day at the Democratic presidential candidates debate, mainstream pundits overwhelmingly deemed Hillary Clinton the winner. Using this sort of surface-level criteria, the New York Times cited crisp answers, while the Washington Post described a self-assured performance that disconnect people from electoral politics left and right. But rather than declare a victor at all, journalists might have used airtime to explore some telling moments, like the one in which CNN's Anderson Cooper badgered Sanders for opposing the CIA's illegal war on Nicaragua. Robert Naiman of Just Foreign Policy flagged the point where Cooper said, quote, "The question is really about electability here, and that's what I'm trying to get at. You, the Republican attack ad against you in a general election, it writes itself. You supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua. You honeymooned in the Soviet Union, and just this weekend you said you're not a capitalist. Doesn't that ad write itself?" Close quote. As Naiman notes, millions of Americans supported the Sandinistas in Nicaragua after that group overthrew the U.S.-installed Somoza dictatorship and promised to address Nicaragua's extreme poverty and lack of basic services like education and health care for the majority of the population. Americans from many walks of life opposed the Reagan administration's organization of a terrorist army called the Contras to attack the Nicaraguan government. That solidarity movement eventually passed the Boland Amendment that cut off U.S. funding to the CIA's army, which led the White House to fund them illegally through arms sales to Iran. During the ensuing scandal known as Iran-Contra, Anderson Cooper was working, as it happens, for the CIA, a paid job he held for two summers. Even without that biographical detail, though, it speaks volumes that Cooper is comfortable understanding his agency employment as an irrelevant non-issue while presenting having opposed the illegal CIA war on Nicaragua as an obvious electoral liability. And then finally, one of the biggest audience responses during the debate came when Sanders agreed with Hillary Clinton that focus on her email server was a distraction. But as Lee Fong at The Intercept pointed out, TV coverage only stressed part of that story, the part about the political impact of Sanders expressing solidarity with Clinton. MSNBC's report, for example, cut from Sanders' comment, quote, "The secretary is right, and that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails," close quote, to his words, quote, "Enough of the emails, let's talk about the real issues facing America," close quote. Well, what came in between that MSNBC and others cut out was Sanders saying to CNN's Cooper, quote, "Anderson, let me say something about the media as well. I go around the country, talk to a whole lot of people. Middle class in this country is collapsing. We have 27 million people living in poverty. We have massive wealth and income inequality. Our trade policies have cost us millions of decent jobs. The American people want to know whether we're going to have a democracy or an oligarchy as a result of Citizens United. Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America," close quote. Sanders, in other words, wasn't just criticizing Republicans. He was also criticizing media that prioritize sensationalism over basic economic realities. Should we be surprised that media wanted to skip over that bit? Well, we can't improve on the words of investigative journalist and media critic George Seldes. The most sacred cow of the press is the press itself. You're listening to Counterspin, brought to you each week by the Media Watch Group Fair.